If you are someone who's looking to learn more about fertility awareness method for natural birth control or conception, and you're ready to finally get to the root of hormone imbalances for good, this is the podcast for you. The cool thing is, Fertility Awareness Method is here for you in all seasons of your life. When you're looking to prevent pregnancy, when you're ready to conceive, and when you want to use it postpartum. So if you're in the phase of your life where you are looking for a natural form of birth control without all the hormones, head on over to my free training, nourishedwithnina.com/famtraining for all of the information. All right, let's go ahead and hop right into this new episode.
So it's not like don't ever Google anything or don't ever research anything. My God, these great resources are here. It's why I created a Facebook group for these women. It's why my Instagram feed is about this. But when you feel like it's too much and you feel overwhelmed by it and you feel like you're creating issues that weren't there, like that's when just take a day or two break.
Hey friends, welcome back to a new episode of Healing Hormones Podcast. I'm Nina Boyce, your host, certified hormone coach, Reiki practitioner, and working on my certification to become a fertility awareness educator, which I am so, so excited about because I'm going to be able to help you all better with transitioning off of birth control, learning to optimize your hormones and supercharge your fertility. And I just cannot wait to add this additional certification to the work I'm doing for all of you. Today on the podcast, I am talking to Samantha Kellgren, who is a mind-body fertility coach, helping women take control of their fertility through the mind-body connection so they can uplevel their life. After being diagnosed with hypothalamic amenorrhea, which we define and talk more about in this podcast, essentially, this is when your period goes missing, whether that's because of birth control or for many other reasons, which we will dig into in this podcast. She ended up finding out that it is possible to be too fit to get pregnant, ended up undergoing IVF to have their son, and she made drastic changes to her unhealthy relationship with exercise and eating. And now she helps women through the major mindset shifts it takes to stop overexercising, stop undereating, so that they can regain their cycles and get pregnant without going crazy. I adored this conversation I had with Samantha. We hit so many different points that I am so passionate about. We talk about what hypothalamic amenorrhea is, why there is such a stigma around women wanting to gain weight, to eat more calories, why you need to learn how to release control, and how you can learn to re-identify who you are aside from being a runner or being the girl that works out all the time or being the girl that eats quote unquote healthy, right? How we can start to unpack these things, especially when you're struggling to get pregnant or if you've lost your period or your body is struggling with hormone imbalance post-pill. This conversation was so powerful and I cannot wait for you guys to dig in. Before we head into this episode, I wanted to let you all know that I do have private spots open for hormone coaching. My signature 6-month coaching program includes 2 different types of testing to get to the root of your imbalances, 10 private coaching sessions, 2 Reiki sessions, a full tarot card reading. It is truly the most well-rounded and encompassing program that I offer to help give you the individual support and guidance you are looking for to balance your hormones, get to the root of your symptoms, and also to optimize fertility. So if you've been looking for support and guidance, reach out to me. I have a free 30-minute hormone deep dive. We'll chat through everything that's been going on and we'll really get to what you need to serve your body, whether that's private coaching, group coaching, or I can just offer you some really helpful resources so that you can do this work on your own. I am here for you, but I do have a few private coaching spots available. So again, if you've been looking for that really individualized guidance, you're looking to get hormone testing done, reach out to me and we can talk through all of the details. Link in my bio to schedule your free 30-minute call. Hey, Samantha, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I was super stoked when you reached out to me to share more about your story because I think there are many women that are listening right now that can completely relate to what we're going to talk about, which is the fear of gaining weight, the fear of, you know, changing up their workout routines. But all of this needs to happen, especially when you've lost your period or you're trying to get pregnant. And so thank you so much for just coming on the podcast and being willing to share this story with us.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So why don't you start by sharing how you got into this work? You have a really powerful story around having to switch up kind of your identity and your workout routine and going through IVF and finally getting pregnant with your son.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of share that with us. I'm so interested to hear how it all unfolded.
Yeah. Yeah. So before I even started to try to get pregnant, I was a personal trainer and I was actually run coaching. I had my run coach certification. I was very much into running. We lived in Chicago at the time and it's like flat as a pancake there. It makes it easy to run long distances. And, you know, I ran 7 marathons. I ran my 7th marathon right before going off the pill. And, you know, I was underweight and, you know, a lot of that was with the endurance running and I wasn't fueling enough. But in my head, you know, I wasn't crashing on my runs. I wasn't having trouble sleeping. My hair wasn't falling out. I didn't have all these signs that I saw as overtraining. Because I was on the pill, I didn't know my period is gone. That is a huge, you know, it just,
yes.
It. Who knows, you know, I mean, I was on the pill for 13 years straight. I could have lost it the first time I did a half marathon. I don't know, you know, so, you know, that's a big piece. And that's why I try to educate women about this now of, you know, that pill can mask a lot of things. You're having a fake bleed. You don't know what's going on. And so we found out what was going on when I went off the pill. So this was February of 2016. I went off the pill. We were ready to start trying. And I went to my OB. I'm a planner. And I went to my OB before and I said, look, you know, I'm planning to go off the pill. Is there anything I need to know? And she basically said, you know, take a prenatal vitamin.
The typical, the standard, take your prenatal, it'll be fine.
I could have looked that up. And she said, you know, don't be surprised. It might not come back immediately. You know, don't be surprised if you don't immediately start it. And I was like, okay, you know, that's good to know, to not be super surprised if it doesn't come back in the first couple weeks. But she said, if it doesn't come back in 3 months, then make another appointment, come see me. So I had nothing happened in 3 months of being off of it. And, you know, she said, come back and see me, but I didn't know what could be the things going on here. At that point, you know, she said it could be some of your running, you know, high intensity running can affect this. She didn't tell me how, she didn't give me a name for anything. She said, you might have to back off the running. Let's try the Provera challenge. So if you're not familiar with that, it is basically you're given progesterone pills that will induce a period. So you take them from usually between 5 and 7 days. After you stop taking them within a week, you should get a bleed. And I didn't. And so we tried it again for a little longer. I think I did 5 days the first round and nothing. She said, okay, let's really bring it on. We'll do 7 days and nothing.
But, can I just pause for a second? And I want to be careful with how I say this because I understand the way that gynecologists have been trained, the way that they go through medical school. It's not necessarily their job to sit down and be like, listen, low body weight, over exercise, all of these things impact ovulation. Let's talk about why you're not ovulating. Let's get to the root of why ovulation isn't occurring, because the blanket reasons most of the time is stress on the body, under eating, over exercise, and stress on the body could be mental, physical, many different ways. But of course, they're trained to jump straight to, well, let's do this synthetic progestin to try and stimulate ovulation. And when you told me that, I literally had this gut like, oh no, why? There are so many other things you could have done beforehand. And I'm sure you're going to get to that.
100%.
But I just want to keep that in mind for our listeners that I like to preach that when you go to your gynecologist, know where they've been trained and where they're coming from. They're trying to help. But this is why we need to do our research a little bit beforehand, because jumping to the conventional way isn't always the best option at first.
Right. And at this point, and this is again why I do what I do, why I talk about this, why I go on a podcast to talk about this, is that you don't know what you don't know. So at that point, I didn't know what to ask, right? I didn't know all the details. And you're right, they don't have time to sit there and go over it. That is why I'm a coach, because that is not
right here. Me too.
That's not their role, right? That's why we do this.
Yeah.
That is not their, and that's fine. They have their role and that's what it is. But you need to know that that's not the only thing that you need. And so, you know, at this point she said, I need you to see a fertility specialist, an RE, to see what the underlying thing, like exactly what's going on, if there's anything else. I'm like, okay. And at this point, and this is very early on, and I'm like, oh my God, we're still waiting. You know, it's been like 3 months.
Yeah.
And it feels like forever. And so we did a hysteroscopy. I can never say that. Hysteroscopy to see, you know, are my tubes open? Like, is there anything aside from stress, right? Is there anything else that could be going on before we do any medication or any interventions? Let's see what's really going on. So everything looked good, except I had such low estrogen that I had no uterine lining. So that's why everything else was probably kickstarted with this progesterone, but there's literally nothing to bleed out. So there's nothing to have a period. That means there's even if I was releasing an egg, there's nowhere for that. It becomes an embryo. There's nowhere for it to go, right? There's nothing to hold it. So, you know, and again, this doctor mentions gaining weight and intense exercise, but I, the entire time, am listed as unexplained infertility. Which is interesting because he knows. I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Did you know? So I've been reading, well, I finished it. It's called Awakening Fertility. It's really good. It's by the same author that wrote The First 40 Days.
I don't have that one. Okay.
It's awesome. So in Chinese medicine, they don't even use the term infertility, which I think is really interesting, because they believe that there always is some sort of route to why it's not happening. Now, I think there's like a very small percentage of women that truly are infertile. That sounds so harsh, but like in Chinese medicine, the percentage is very, very, it was like under 10%. And sometimes I think when we put that label of infertility on a woman, it becomes your identity. I mean, even like infertile, like,
oh, it's awful.
But in most cases, I would say the majority of cases from my research and what I've read, there is always something underlying. Now, it just can take a lot of digging. And I am not underestimating the women. I know women that I've even worked with that have been trying to get pregnant for years. It's heartbreaking. And it's so difficult mentally and physically on the body. But I find that word to be such like a dagger when it's not even always accurate.
I agree. I like to say, you know, if you're having fertility issues versus infertility, like it's just that little switch makes a big difference. And seeing a fertility specialist instead of an infertility specialist.
Yes.
It's that small thing. But yeah. So we started down the road for an IUI. And I, at this point, I cut back a little on my running. I took out the interval training. Like I was, you know, doing like intense intervals, runs, hill runs, stuff like that on the treadmill. And so I took that out and just did steady state. You know, I slowly backed off. I don't think I put on that much weight in the first couple months. I started to eat a little more. As we did the first round for an IUI got canceled because I didn't respond enough to trigger. The next round, I think we upped the medication and we were able to do the IUI and it was unsuccessful, which, you know, it's a low percentage chance. So I wasn't like super shocked. I was disappointed, but it was like, okay, now we know the medication level. Now we get to try again. We tried three more times, upping it, trying Letrozole versus Clomid, and couldn't do it completely in IUI. So at this point it was like, okay, and this, you know, I'm getting worried. I cut back some, I forget the timeline I'm gaining, but at that point I may have been up like 10 pounds. And so this is almost a year later. This is now in like January. I did stems for IVF in February. So a full year off going off the pill. And at this point it was like, okay, what am I? I need to cut back more on my running. I need to gain more weight. I still didn't have a name for hypothalamic amenorrhea.
Yeah.
I didn't get a name for that.
Wait, nobody said that to you at that point.
No.
Can we pause really quickly? So it is a mouthful. Hypothalamic amenorrhea, which is the diagnosed HA, which is the diagnosed term when you don't get your period. Now, you don't get that diagnosis until a year. Am I correct? Or is it 6 months?
It's almost one of those. I think you have to be missing it for like 6 months. 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I thought in maybe conventional medicine, if you haven't had it for a year, that's when they diagnose you. But I know if you haven't gotten a period, you're right, 3 to 6 months, I would say this is what's going on.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
Right. And again, if you check all these boxes, right? And as I'll tell you, when I learned this term and looked into it, it was like me.
Right. Yeah.
it seemed so freaking obvious. And so really we got to cut to IVF. We did egg retrieval. We ended up with two viable embryos. We froze them. We were going to do frozen transfers. We did the first one in April of, so now we're in 2017, first one in April of 2017. It was a chemical pregnancy. So, you know, my HCG showed I was pregnant. It did not double. It went down. And honestly, I did take from that the silver lining that yes, my body can get pregnant. Like, okay, let's, you know, what good can we take from this?
Yeah.
And that night I went to this event. I've told this story before. I wouldn't have gone had I not already had the tickets. It was to a fertility event. Like hours after I got the news that it didn't work, that it was a chemical. Mm, it's like,
yeah.
But I went, I am so glad I went. I was talking to other women, just really empowering to be around that environment. And it was really positive. But I talked to another doctor that was there. And immediately she says, oh, you sound kind of hypo. I'm like, okay, what's that? Yeah. Like, just met this woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, I gave her some history, but still, she said, you sound kind of hypo. You know, I'd be happy to talk to you this more. And I was like, well, we have one more embryo. We have our next one scheduled for the next cycle. But like, yes, I'd love to talk more because in my mind, okay, if this next one doesn't work and we're after,
what are my next options?
Right. I might take a little time off and I kind of want to just talk to someone else. So I talked to her some. She gave me a name, hypothalamic amenorrhea. Of course, I go home. What am I doing? All I'm doing is Googling this. I find,
right.
And I'm not sure if you've talked to Nicola Rinaldi. She wrote, no period, now what? I called the HA.
I should write her down, yes, though. What's her name?
Nicola Rinaldi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I called the HA Bible. It is everything you want to know about hypothalamic amenorrhea and is research-based. She does, gives you so much scientific information, firsthand accounts. And, you know, I found blog posts on this of other women have gone through this. And it was like, oh, that's me. That's me. It was over-exercise, intense exercise, underweight. And these things aren't, you can definitely have it without being underweight. So I do want to say that. It is not like, oh, you have to be underweight, but that is just common. That is what we've seen a lot. Also, you know, under fueling. So she recommends eating at least 2,500 calories a day. At that, I haven't calorie counted in probably over a year. And at that point, I was probably at 1,800. Because I diet culture, you think that is what a grown woman needs. And a grown woman who is running marathons, my God, I should have been eating 2,500, 2,300 a day.
There is so much to unpack just there with women always feeling like we need to be smaller. That we need to, in so many aspects, like whether it's our body or our personalities, like women are always trying to make themselves smaller and smaller. And that's what we're praised for. I also want to note that when it comes to fertility issues, if somebody is overweight, the first thing the doctor will typically say is you need to lose weight, because it's like, oh, fertility issues, weight
gain.
You need to exercise. You need to like lose weight. And that is not always the case. And actually, there's a really awesome, I can't remember her name on Instagram. I'm going to try and get her on the podcast. It's like, I can't remember, but she talks about being overweight and how fertility, and that there are so many other reasons why purely not losing weight is always the answer.
Yes.
But then on your end, here you are underweight and like you didn't, a doctor was like, well, yeah, maybe stop running a little bit. But it's like that's seen as healthy, right? Like that's a smaller body.
Yes.
Restricting calories. Look at her. She's so healthy. She runs marathons. But that isn't, is the reason, right? Why you were struggling so much.
And that's the thing is if he said, you know, you might need to gain some weight, you might need to cut back on running. It was not impressive on me. You need to stop running and gain weight or this is not going to happen.
Exactly.
That is what I needed to be told. Because right. If you're like me, which every single woman, so I have a Facebook group for recovery. It's Recovery Your Period. If you go to my Facebook page or Instagram account, you're going to find an invite to it. It is full of type A women who mm-hmm. like a plan, who like a schedule to follow and need to be told limits. And I was not given a limit to what I could do to help this, right? It was, you might need to stop running some. It wasn't, look, this high intensity exercise and low body fat, you need to be in this range and you're in this range. It was, you need to gain some. It wasn't, look, you're at a...
Why is there not specific numbers? And you're right. Many women that are struggling with this, we are type A. We're perfectionists. We want to know how to do things right.
And if you get a plan, I'll do it. But I didn't have a plan. And I didn't have what is this going to look like and feel like. And it is hard, you know. And so I feel like at that point, it was like, well, we've got one more transfer. What am I doing? I need to stop. I stopped running before that last transfer. I'd cut it down to like 10 miles a week. So I was running maybe 3 days a week, which up from 4 to 5 every day for years seemed like nothing. But it was like, this isn't good for me right now. I need to stop. And it was hard, but I'd already cut back some, so that helped. So I stopped before that next transfer. I was, I think, 10 to 12 pounds up at that point. And the next one worked. And I think a lot of it was also mindset shift of this being lean is not the most important thing right now. This is a phase. This is, I want to have a baby. And when I really looked at it as a, okay, well, once we have this baby, then I can go back. It suddenly hit me like, that wasn't entirely a great place for me to be.
Wow.
I liked running, but what do I like about running? What can I keep from my love of running to make sure it doesn't go to an obsessive to I have to hit this many miles a week to I run when I want to run, which is where it is now. And it took a lot of work to get there, but I'm really thankful that, you know, I think that if the IVF had worked, that first IUI had worked, I probably would have gone back exactly to where I was because I didn't learn anything. I didn't learn anything and really see how it's all interconnected. I mean, it's the hypothalamus is what I shut down. And like you said, with that stress, and stress is mental, stress is physical. I think a big thing, a big misconception that I had and that pretty much every woman I talk to has is that I exercise for stress relief. And I get that. I understand that. And you do. And that is why you think you're doing it. And it does provide some stress relief. But your body recognizes it as a stress.
Right.
So if your body, you need to find other ways, which I have found. You need to find other ways to have that stress relief and really start to think, is this purely stress relief or is it actually causing stress in the fact that if I don't get this workout in, I'm going to feel guilty and I'm not going to eat as much as I would have if I had gotten it in. Like that huge, huge stress to have on your mind.
I was going to say these mindset shifts are crucial. And I think when you learn the science behind what is happening in the body, because you're right. I know a lot of people that are runners. I actually just started running on the treadmill again myself. I'm not a runner, but I've been doing like a walk run type of situation and I've been feeling really good. I like my body feels like it needs to get that energy out. But I'm very mindful of knowing not to overexert my body because I have my own issues going on that I'm trying to calm a lot of stress. Right. But like you're so right. It starts with the hypothalamus. And so when your body is under this perceived stress, you're not going to get the correct signals, follicle stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone to trigger ovulation. And it just makes so much sense that ovulation, that's why it's one of our fifth vital signs.
Yep.
So you're right. In one sense, like running is a stress reliever. your body feels really good. It helps us like maintain what we want to maintain. But if you're not ovulating and you're not getting a period, is it really healthy anymore? Right. So can you talk a little bit about that mindset shift that you had to go through with, okay, how do I make this work for me?
Yeah. So a lot of it was, I feel like I looked at, okay, I say this is a stress relief. What do I like? What am I getting from it? What do I like about it? And it was being outside. It was having time to myself. It was being able to listen to my, I mean, I listen to podcasts all the time. So podcasts or music, I can get that from walking. I go on walks every day now and it is more healthy. It clears my head. I notice I feel differently. I feel that mental shift, that mindset shift of when I'm walking of what I thought I could only get from running.
Ooh, I love
that. Really took believing that it could happen and believing that, okay, I don't have to run. And, you know, we talked very briefly about identity, and that is the biggest struggle of I am a runner. I took 11 months off of running because I took off right before the transfer. I did not run the entire pregnancy because I took that as, look, this was not healthy for my body. So I'm just going to take a break, see how I feel without it. Maybe I come back to it. Maybe I don't. I did, but definitely not to the same degree. I run when I, like, honestly, when I feel like it, I run maybe once a week. I'm very conscious now about working out with my cycle now that I've gotten it back.
Yes.
Of working, doing higher intensity in that first half of my cycle and then post-ovulation, doing more yoga, more walking, some strength training. So I'm still love to work out, but I am doing it in a way that if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. And not just like, I don't feel like working out today, but like, I don't have the energy to do this type of workout. So I'm going to move my body in a different way.
That is so, so powerful, because there's this whole other side of, well, we have to push ourselves to work out.
Yeah.
And I see this a lot. Like, just get to the gym. Just get yourself to the gym. You'll feel so much better afterwards.
Yeah.
Push. Yeah. And sometimes, okay, like if you can tell the difference. Yeah. I know I can in my body. If I'm like, Nina, you just want to keep watching Netflix. And sometimes that's fine. Like, maybe I do just need to keep watching Netflix. But then after I go for a walk or maybe I do a yoga class, I do truly feel better.
Well,
but there are those other times in certain phases of your cycle where your body's like, no, thank you. This is not going to serve me if I go for that long run or I go to that spin class or whatever.
And that's the red flag of, are you working out because it's on your schedule and color high water, that is your workout and that is what you're doing, and you're going to feel guilty if you don't. I think that's the biggest thing of, do I feel guilty if I don't do that? Is that the reason I'm doing this? Is because I'm going to feel guilty if I don't? Do you tie your exercise to your calorie intake? That's another
thing.
And I think that, you know, we think that you have to push through it, and we're told to push through it because the majority of people are on that other end. But you know, if you have the willpower to work out, that is not what you need to do. You don't need to be told that. Like, that is inherently what you do. So you need to be told the opposite of, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to not do them. Think about if you're doing a boot camp class or something and they say, now to make it harder to kick up the intensity, if you feel like you always have to take that option or you're not doing enough, that's a red
flag.
You should be able to say like, yeah, not today. Or, I feel amazing today. This is where I am in my day and I feel great. So I'm going to do, you know, the kicks. I'm going to do the jumps. Or, this is kind of draining today. I'm going to take it down a notch. And look.
I love that. I love that you said, if somebody were to tell you, like, it's okay to take a break or it's okay to take it down a notch. Like, nobody ever says that. It's always like, to kick it up, do this.
Yeah, they assume they assume we hate exercise, but these women
exactly.
do not hate exercise, and that's fine.
You're right.
But you need to be treated in a different way. Just like you said, if you are overweight, they tell you to, you know, exercise is good for fertility. You need to lose weight. Well, some people do, but a level of exercise is good for fertility. If you're going from no exercise, then yeah, some exercise is good for fertility. But if you are running 10 miles every day, no, that is not good for fertility. Yes, that
is. I mean,
what but
what it comes down to is, movement is great for your body.
Yeah.
Movement is fantastic for your body. And everybody has a different threshold for that in everybody's body. And because, you know, and that also goes along with the food that you eat. Like when you were running marathons, do you know how much more food you needed than somebody that wasn't running a marathon?
Why would I think that on days I ran literally 20 miles, I could eat 400 extra calories?
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
And it's, yeah, but it's, you're trained that way and we're not told the other end of it. And like you said, so something you hit on that I want to come back to is there's a lot of comparison of she runs marathons and she has a kid, or she is this thin and is pregnant. It's not about finding the weight range. It's the weight range for you, right? Maybe that is where her body naturally is. Your healthy weight is what you can sit at when you are eating over 2,000 calories and not obsessively working out.
Your set point.
That's
weight.
Your healthy weight. Right. And maybe it's not what you want it to be. And I'm sorry. Maybe ideally you wish it was less. And that's a different issue when it's just you. But when you're trying to get pregnant and you're trying to carry a healthy pregnancy, your body needs to be at its happy place. And you can't control what that is. So looking at it in more of an exploratory way of, before I had, you know, before I started like endurance running, or before I started watching what I ate, where was my body? Where was it happy? If you're not on the pill, where was I last getting a healthy period? Because you can have not, you know, full out missing a period, hypothalamic amenorrhea is one thing, but you can have a shortened luteal phase because of this. You can have anovulatory cycles where maybe you are getting a period, but are you ovulating? Right. But are you having enough? Do you have enough progesterone? Do you have enough estrogen? A really important study that she does, that Nicola talks about in her book, is 3 hours of intense exercise a week, so entire week, is enough to negatively affect your cycle. And it's not like, oh, if you exercise this amount, you will lose your period. But it's like, hey, this amount of intense exercise has been shown across the board to negatively affect your cycle. So just looking at that big picture of, hey, intense exercise, you know, I don't want women to be afraid to move, but the main culprits are in high intensity exercise, which think of all the boot camps,
right,
and running, and not eating enough. And not like, oh, not eating the perfect diet. No, it's about just not getting enough calories. And I feel like what I work with women on is that fear of, you don't have to eat perfectly. You just need enough. Focus on getting enough. And I don't even care what form that comes in. Focus on getting enough food and then work out, okay, what are my healthy fats looking like? And then
exactly.
You know, don't.
There's levels. There's levels. Yes. And at the base level
the
of
base
survival.
Calories, and then you get a little more picky.
Exactly.
Get your base level up. And it's gaining weight. And some women don't need to gain much. Like I said, I think I gained between 10 and 12 pounds. And again, when my cycle returned, I was up probably 12 from where I was before all the going off the pill and everything. So it's, for a lot of women, it's not a crazy amount. You feel like it's out of control. And you feel like it because you have been controlling so much that any loosening of that feels like insanity. It feels like I'm going to spiral and I'm going to become 100 pounds over the weight I am now. And I'm going to become.
And that's a whole nother issue of like diet culture and how we've been trained to view our bodies and control in general, which is why I think that this is, I'm a Reiki practitioner too. So I like have this very like energetic, like spiritual belief on a lot of this. And when it comes to getting pregnant, you're literally transforming. You're like walking into this new portal of your life. And so many women, it's not until that point that they realize how much baggage they need to drop, how much control they need to drop, how much unlearning they need to do.
Because I think
in order to transform,
people that don't have this issue and can't understand just say, okay, well, just what? Stop running and eat more. Oh, okay.
Not that simple.
I am a runner. What am I if I'm not running? I'm known as the healthy eater. I have a six pack and that I have been praised for. What am I if I don't have that and I don't Yes. And, you know, and so it's really untying that and you're like, oh, I wrapped a lot into this and I need to undo it. And what I stress upon women is that this is like, think of it as like a speedometer of like, you are doing a 180 in recovery, because recovery is, I'm really taking out all exercise, but like yoga, walking, maybe some light strength training. This is not what I'm used to. This is out of my comfort zone. I'm eating way more. I'm allowing anything. I'm gaining weight. That's the other extreme. You're going to do that as you recover. You'll get your period back. And then you go to this middle ground. So really think about, do you want, I think women are afraid to let go of that, but do you really like living in that spot? And not like, oh, do you like, not, oh, do you like working out? Like, yes, you can continue to work out once you're recovered, you know, go back to some running, but it's, did you like feeling like you had to hit this many miles? Did you like that you felt that you had to burn a certain number of calories, hit a step goal to deserve to go out to eat that night or to have
to deserve. I love that you said that, to deserve. And you also said earlier, like, will I feel guilty if I don't? And I think those are the two things. Like, when you put your worth to the number on the scale, the abs, the amount of calories you've burned, or your identity as a runner. I mean, and like you said, you can still be a runner. You just don't have to do as much. Or you can still love working out.
I like running, so I'm a runner. If I decide, and I tell anyone this, if you voluntarily decide to put on shoes and go out for a run, then you are a runner. You don't, like, there's no, you don't have to have a certain pace. You don't have to go a certain distance. But if you enjoy getting out every now and then, going for a run, then you're a runner. Like, There's no set law defining what is a runner. I mean, like, you're not, I was never a professional. I was never being paid for running.
Yeah. So,
if you look at it in those terms, and you know, we talk about, oh, you know, this woman runs this amount and could get pregnant. For one, you don't know. I mean, some runner, professional athletes now are coming out about, yeah, I did IVF.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I wasn't getting a period. And some doctors or even trainers treat it as completely normal to not get a period for female athletes. And I think that, you know, common and normal are two completely different things. It's common. I feel like it's common for elite runners not to get a period, but it's not normal for your body to not have a period. Like you said, it's the fifth vital sign. It is
totally.
It is the sign of if we're truly healthy. And I missed that because I was on the pill. That would have been a red flag had I, you know, do you think that if I was not on the pill and getting regular periods and they suddenly stopped, that I wouldn't be like, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Which is why I am so passionate about sharing about the pill, because I do believe that there are certain times in our life where the pill is easier, especially if you're like in college and you don't want to get pregnant and blah, blah, blah. Like I've mentioned this before. Would I have probably still taken the pill in college knowing everything I know now? Maybe. I might have still done it. But like, we need to inform women of what it's actually doing. It would have been an informed decision to take it. And women just don't know. Number one, they don't know what the pill is doing to the body, which I've talked about in many other episodes of the podcast. Yeah. We don't know that the bleed that you get on a pill, even if you do get a bleed, it is not a true period. Right. Women don't know that.
I didn't know that.
And then you're right. Yes. And then it masks so many underlying things. And so that's my biggest concern, is like, when you get on the pill because of a hormone imbalance in general, you're putting that mask over it, and you don't understand when you get off of it, you have to take steps back to reoptimize your fertility or your health in general, not even just to get pregnant.
And this is not just for, this is not just for, oh, I want to get pregnant and figure this out. And a lot of women I work with like do want to get pregnant, but some of them are like, I want to get pregnant eventually. Right. I want to get pregnant in the next couple of years. And I love when they come to me, because it's like, oh, if you can remove that like urgent timeline, this is going to be so much easier. This needs to happen right now. And there's a lot of similarities between recovering your period and, you know, fertility. And like, you know, if you, you know, I hate saying infertility, but if you're going through fertility treatments, there's a lot of similarities, because the hardest thing, which I was just talking in my Facebook group today about this, is the unknown. It's how long is this going to take? How much weight do I need to gain? How long can I not work out? When I get it back, how much can I do? And yeah, it really is, you've got to trust your body, and it's going to trust you. It's a two-way. And the more you can put trust into your body to figure it out, it is so much smarter than you think it is, because that is, it is the reason it shut down the reproductive system when you were doing
exactly
that. Like, she can't handle this. I'm going to shut some stuff down. Maybe she'll listen. And if you start to listen and trust that it's going to not spiral out of control, that it's going to find this happy place to be, if you can trust that it's going to find that, it's going to trust you. Because when you are restricting calories and overexercising, you're showing that you don't trust your body to be where it needs to be. It's like, oh, I need to regulate.
Can you say that one more time? Just rephrase that. Because I want everyone to take it in.
Yeah, if you are restricting and you are overexercising and trying to control where your body is, you are showing it that you don't trust it. So it doesn't trust you.
Absolutely.
Because it is saying, she is trying to take the reins and pretending she knows what's best for me.
Yeah.
And it's going to prove you wrong, because the more trust you can put in, like, let's see what happens if I take out running and see where my body goes. And nothing is forever. Just do it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be somewhat curious, because I was curious. Do you want to continue to have that intense exercise plan and be very regimented the rest of your life? Because if you can't picture doing the workout plan you're doing now forever, then it's not sustainable.
That's why a lot of overexercising and diets in general, they aren't sustainable, because it's not real life.
It's not real.
And yeah. And you can't maintain that forever. And that's why I think your work is really important, because when you wrap your identity around something that isn't sustainable and that isn't real life, mm-hmm, what happens when that has to be let go?
Right.
You have to relearn who you are. And I think that's what this all comes down to, isn't it? It's learning who you are, what you value, what makes you important aside from food and exercise.
And it's so much, I mean, I tell everyone this, and everyone says this that gets their period back, is they got back so much more than their period. They got back so much more. A different outlook on life, a different appreciation for life, a different view of who they are, different interests and hobbies. And then there's a whole, like, I'm not cold all the time.
Right,
it goes along. A lot of, like, gastrointestinal issues clear up, because they just, simply, we're cutting out whole food groups or just not getting enough fuel. So their body was like either constipated. There's all this stuff that they thought that they just lived with and was just them. And it's just because they weren't eating enough food.
Totally.
It's crazy. And, you know, you're throwing all this stuff off that doesn't need to be that way. And, you know, I know that recovering kind of seems this other end of not natural, of doing way too much the other way, but it's just a phase. And people can dip a toe in. Like, this is kind of how I coach women through, is to their comfort level of, are you okay with totally cutting out everything? Or do you want to do some body weight strength training? Does that make you feel better?
let's make it work for you.
Yes, let's make it work. Some people don't want to if they've been eating 1600 calories and they don't want to jump to 2500, okay, let's inch it up. Let's see what foods we can add in to make it comfortable. Let's look at how you're spacing your meals. And, you know, I'm not a nutritionist or I'm not a dietitian. I'm not giving them meal plans, but I am looking at how they're eating and seeing ways that we can get in more calories in a way that's comfortable, and like what we can focus on, so they don't feel like, oh my God, I hate doing this. It's uncomfortable, okay, but I don't want them to hate the process. And another big part of, you know, there's a couple different ways to work with me, but my biggest program is a 12-week program. And it is not just, here's things to eat and here's ways to move. We look at identity. We look at how can we unpack who you are. We look at rebuilding their social feed, rebuilding their social life around them so they're comfortable talking about it with other people. Because that comes up too, of, I'm always seen as the fit one and the runner. What happens when I gain 10 pounds and I'm getting questions about it? I don't know how to respond.
Yeah.
And so we go over
It's sad that we have to fear that. And that's something that really triggers me, because I know when, especially with families, right? Yeah. Like, it's like you go home for the holiday or you go visit family, and the first thing you think of is like, if you've lost weight, oh my gosh, you look so good.
Yes.
And then if I gain weight, the judgment, and if even people don't say it, like, our culture has this stigma around weight gain. We immediately think if somebody has gained weight, they either are letting themselves go, they're unhealthy. You know, what if their body needed to gain that weight?
And the shocking thing, I mean, not shocking, but the great thing is that happened to me, that happened to other women that have gotten their period back, is they think that they're going to get this negative feedback of you've gained weight or what's going on. A lot of times it is, oh my God, you look great. You look so much better. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, that is what happens. I mean, I remember multiple of my friends like, God, you look so much healthier now. You look so much happier. And mm-hmm. you don't think that's going to be the response, but it often can be. And so we go through those scenarios of, okay, what will you say? I had a client that I talk about her all the time because it was so amazing to me that she is a personal trainer. She owned her own gym. So she can't just leave the fitness world. She can't just, she's in
this. That's a huge part of her identity.
Yeah, it is her career. And so we looked at, okay, how can you have these conversations with your clients? How can you miss the running world? How can you be involved in it, but in a way that is okay for you? And so we found out different ways that she could have those conversations, deciding what she needed to tell people. And the biggest takeaway I can give to anyone is that, like, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, or they shouldn't. If they do, they shouldn't. Yeah. Like, can we just tell everybody to stop commenting on people's bodies stop giving a shit?
And people aren't going home thinking like, did you hear she stopped running? Like, no, they're like, oh, And then they're going to go on about their day. You ask them another question about, oh yeah, I'm not training for that race. Like, how's it going for you? They're going to tell you their detailed training plan and like, you can just tune it out. They're not spending, you think that they're going to spend all this time wondering why you're not running and how much weight you've gained. They're not. Mm-hmm. You might think about it for 2 seconds when you are in their face, and they're not going home and continue to think about it like you are. So that is what we work through, is like, okay, what is like your actual reality? What have you fabricated in your mind? And how can we like balance that out so you're comfortable with this and not snowballing it into a big deal that it really is only in your head, right?
And I want to add too, if somebody is doing that, like specifically, I think it's really hard. I think it's really hard with family members. I think family members think they're trying to protect you. Uh-huh. And so, you know, especially a mom. I know a lot of people have moms that are very, very open, outspoken about weight. Mm-hmm. And I think if that is their concern, they have their own unpacking and unlearning to do.
It's them. Right.
Exactly.
Anyone commenting on your body is about them. And what I would say, if you are missing a period because of it, maybe not even missing it, if you are having trouble getting pregnant and you think it has to do with your fitness and eating habits, that's what you tell them of, well, this isn't healthy for me. This is the reason that we're struggling to get pregnant. So like, make it awkward for them. Like,
right. Yeah.
Do you really, you know, my weight isn't at a healthy level to get pregnant. So that's why I'm putting on a couple pounds.
I also wanted to touch back on something you mentioned earlier about just this release of control. And, you know, in my own experience right now, I've been trying to conceive for 5 or 6 months. And I actually just today scheduled my diagnostic endometriosis surgery. Oh. So it's in September. So we're going to figure out if like that's kind of what's going on. I am not underweight by any means. And I've been trying to, I very much have been syncing workouts with my cycle and eating lots and lots. And so that's not specifically my issue with conceiving.
Yeah.
And I am ovulating. But I want to just add to this control aspect. So whether or not you are struggling with HA, you aren't getting your period, you're struggling with this overexercising, or it's just the fact that like you aren't conceiving on your timeline, mm-hmm. there is something to say about releasing and allowing the body to do what it's meant to do. And so I have been really trying to work hard on, if my body isn't conceiving in the timeline I want it to, there's a reason, right? There's something, it's working out, or it's trying to give me a sign, or, you know, even like up to 4 to 6 months is in the range of normal. I know doctors like you to wait a year, but I really think like 4 to 6 months, if it's not happening, we can take a look and see what's kind of going on.
Yeah.
But Your body is on its own timing. And so there is a lot to say with these mindset shifts, with like learning to release control of the body, learning to love your body, appreciate it, get curious about it. And that's what energetically your body needs to get pregnant too.
And it's hard. It's not that you can't be frustrated that it's taking longer than you thought. You know, you don't, I just post about this. I mean, like, we feel like we have to be 100% positive all the time, or it's going to like negatively affect us. And you can be frustrated, but it's not anything that you fail because you're not on this timeline. And that is when I, at that event that I went to, I learned so, like, someone said that. They're like, let go of these dates in your head. Because what you do is like, okay, well, I have that, not that weddings are happening right now, but you know, I have that wedding. Yeah. The world is weird. But you know, I have that event in June. Well, I could be pregnant by then. And you have that in your head, and then it's June and you're not pregnant, and you're disappointed that you're not pregnant when you're the one that threw that arbitrary date out there. And so really thinking of, you know, I wonder when I'll get pregnant. And instead of seeing positive pregnancy tests, or if you're trying to get your period back, women who are getting their period back before you, as it wasn't me. This is like this negative thing against me of, oh man, I wish that was me. I can't wait for it to be my turn. And look at it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, soon I will be posting that picture. Soon I will be saying that. And I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm working to get there. And like, you don't want it to be this, you know, whether getting pregnant or getting your period back or regulating your cycle, instead of it being this black hole of waiting, of like, this is all I'm focused on. This is what my life is based around. Like, you've got so much else going on. This is not the only thing. It feels like it's the only thing in your life.
It feels like it. You're right. And we put so much blame.
Yeah. And and looking at that as like the bonus of what will happen if you do all these other things. And so, you know, I feel like, I feel like I'll get an eye roll saying gratitude, but it really, if all you're focused on is the negative, like each night before you go to bed, or each morning in the morning, I've been writing them out and then saying them at night of like, let me think of like three things that I'm grateful for that have nothing to do with my body. I'm grateful for that. I love our house. We've been in a year and a half. And my husband and I were just saying how like, oh, we love this. We're sitting outside eating. He's like, this is a great spot in our house. I love this spot. I'm like, we do have a lot of nice spots in our house. I'm like, but thinking of that instead of only focused on, I'm not pregnant this month.
Manifestation. I get eye rolls, and I'm not into like the whole woo-woo aspect of manifestation. Like, I'm pretty woo. Okay, I do Reiki and tarot, but it really is like what you focus on grows. Yes. And I catch myself focusing so much on the what is wrong with my body, focusing on the pain I'm experiencing, focusing on the hormone symptoms I'm experiencing, focusing on the fact that I'm not pregnant yet. And how is that helping me? How is that energy helping me? Exactly. And so, we can't be positive all the time. We have to let ourselves feel through these emotions. Yes, exactly. And you're right. The more you focus on the positive, and this sounds, again, like focus on the positive, I understand. But the more you focus on the things that are going well in your life, though, more of that goodness comes to you. It's just how energy works.
Because you notice it more. You notice it more.
Exactly.
Like, I totally agree. I've been really noticing, like, we have so many trees around us and we hear so many birds. I've been really enjoying it. And so like now I notice more of the bird calls and like I'm aware of it. So it just kind of brings me out of it sometimes if I'm like focused on something else that's kind of negative. And so just having the ability to more quickly come to the positive is why you keep doing gratitudes and why you keep thinking about the positive. It's not that you are positive all the time. It's that you can quickly come out of that negative space and recognize, oh, I am really digging a hole here. I need to focus on something else. And focusing on, I feel like if you're struggling to get pregnant, if you think your hormones are out of balance, that's all you're reading about. All you're doing is listening. All you're doing is surrounding yourself in Facebook groups that are talking about this. Take like minimum one day to not read anything about hormones, to not read about diet and exercise, to not read about fertility, to not think about it. Listen to a podcast about music. Listen to something else of interest. Let's read a fiction book. I mean, just really get out of your head, because you create all of these problems that, like, I mean, I remember when I was first like seeing the doctor, the fertility specialist, of hearing all these things that other women had. And it was like, oh my God, are my tubes blocked? Let me research the percentage chance of that.
Listen, I am with you 100% right now because I literally am a hormone coach. So all I do is read and post podcasts.
Yeah, that's the same.
It's my job. But at the same time, what was I doing last night? I was on an endometriosis Facebook
Google?
Page.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I get it from both sides. I get it as like, this is the work that I do, but also I'm experiencing what you're experiencing. And I'm sure you can relate because now it's the work that you do and you have experienced it. You have to remove yourself.
And it's you can't Google anything. And you, of course, information, I read that book and now I know what to do. And now I know what to tell people. Now I know what to ask a doctor if something were to happen. But only reading that. And it's only when you feel overwhelmed by it. If you're feeling like, oh my God, I wasn't worried about this and now I am, that's when you need to take a break. So it's not like don't ever Google anything or don't ever research anything. My God, these great resources are here. It's why I created a Facebook group for these women. It's why my Instagram feed is about this. But when you feel like it's too much and you feel overwhelmed by it and you feel like you're creating issues that weren't there, like that's when just take a day or two break. Be in your body.
Or a month. I took a month.
That's good. When you feel comfortable, when you feel like more at ease, that's when it's time to jump back in. So I think just being aware of like, hey, you can step back from this. Nothing, if you take a week, if you take a month off from doing anything about this, that's not setting you back years, right? It's just like giving yourself that break. And it may be exactly what you needed.
When we're talking about stress and relaxation and releasing control, that break, whether it's a day, whether it's a week, whether it's a month, is exactly what the body needs because you need to cool it. You need to cool the body down and remove yourself and just, again, allow the body to do what it needs to do. A lot of us are type A women that are in this work. And so that is exactly what we need to realize, that we don't have to have the perfect plan all the time. We can balance having a plan and also trusting at the same time.
Yeah. And it's really learning that. And I said the other day, you know, I don't think if I just cut back and not really trusted it and then went back to running more that I would have the relationship I have now with running and with my body. I think going through that was like, oh, I figured it out. And now I'm like allowed to run because I understand all of this. And because I'm able to step back. So I'm really thankful that it happened the way it did because I understand my body more and I understand the relationship between, you know, the calories and exercise and eating and mindset around it. And I don't think it wouldn't have just happened. Like you have to work on it and you have to be willing to be uncomfortable and learn things from it. But you can get there and it's not like, you know, it's the rest of your life. What if it takes 6 months? What if it takes 9 months to get your period back or to get pregnant? It's 9 months of your life, right? It's not forever.
Such a good point.
It is this stage and this phase and you'll be through it and you're gonna get through it faster the more open you are to to be uncomfortable with it and to really, really tune in.
I love this. And this conversation has been, it's so incredible for so many different reasons. I felt like we hit on so many of my passions.
Yes.
And I'm so glad we're sharing this. One thing I just want to reiterate is the fact that you went through this really hard time, but what you learned, it broadened your awareness to the fact that I can still love running. I can still make movement a huge part of my lifestyle. I can still make being healthy a huge part of my lifestyle. But you learned that it doesn't have to totally encompass you and you can do it in a way that serves your body.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't have to be your everything, what your life revolves around.
Yeah.
I think a lot of women, once they get to this point, are like, my life is revolving around this and I don't want it to anymore, but I don't exactly know how to not let it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again so much for coming on and sharing this.
I know we can have like,
this has been amazing.
Spinoffs.
So many spinoffs. Please share where people that are listening can find your work. You mentioned a Facebook group.
Yeah.
You mentioned Instagram. Give them all of those
details. Yeah. So Instagram, I am, you know, at Simply Well Coaching. pretty straightforward. My website is simplywellcoaching.com, and my Facebook page is Simply Well Coaching. And then from there, there is the Facebook group. You can quickly join it from the page or just search groups for Recover Your Period. Yeah, it's really supportive. I respond to every comment I get, like DM me, share your story. If this at all sounds like you, maybe you don't fully have HA, maybe you're not missing it, but it's like I'm hitting on these red flags of like diet and exercise. I mean, I'd love to talk more. So, you know, DM me. I love hearing from people going through this or that have been through it. You know, I love connecting with that because there's more people than you realize out there that are going through this in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. So true. Well, thank you again so much. And we will definitely keep in touch. And I cannot wait for the listeners to seek out more of your work.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning into that episode with Amanda. Make sure to check out all of her resources. If you've been looking for guidance with getting your period back, under eating, over exercising, she is the girl for you. And just a reminder that I do have a few spots open for my signature 6-month private coaching experience. This program includes 2 hormone tests for deeper guidance into your symptoms, 10 coaching calls, 2 Reiki sessions, a full-on tarot reading, and you also get individual guidance and support throughout your sessions via email and also Voxer voice memoing. So if you've been looking to get to the root of your hormone imbalances, you're transitioning off of birth control, or you're looking to optimize your fertility and get pregnant, this 6-month coaching experience is for you. I offer a free 30-minute call. It is linked in my bio. We can chat and make sure that the program is a good fit. Okay, that's all I have for you guys this week. I will talk to you next Monday with a new guest. See you soon.